Good evening. I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. If you would have told me even a few days ago that a night after the busiest season of the year, a time of the year in which we are all so exhausted, but also uplifted, a time of the year in which we have petitioned the heavens again and yet again and again, and when we think we can't do it anymore, well, you're invited back for shul for one last time to celebrate at that which is the apex of the season, Simchas HaTorah. And after the 52 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until the conclusion of Simchas Torah, we have all come to a point where we need a break. And yet here we are, and I am heartened to see the numbers of people that are here tonight. I want to let you know that I consider it a personal zuchus to have the opportunity to speak with you at this time. Please don't misunderstand me. The burden is extraordinary. But I think that all of us, and very, very much myself included, are so desperately looking to connect with one another, to connect with something, to anchor ourselves in something which feels secure and something which feels stable. And while I don't feel worthy, and I certainly do not presume for a moment that I will be able to provide any of that for you this evening, I consider it a zuchus to be here with you. For myself personally, the only recollection that I have as a rabbi, which comes close to this, is when addressing what was then a different tzibur, but a holy tzibur nonetheless. On September 16th, 2001. I struggle this evening because, as I was sharing with Rabbi Feld earlier, I'm reminded of the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, which tells us that at a time that a person is still suffering the loss of a relative and has not had the opportunity to yet bury that relative, it is prohibited for us to offer words of nechama. B'sha shemeisa mutu lefanav. And as we speak, there are hundreds of Jews who are waiting to be buried. And I begin with a disclaimer. I hope in no way whatsoever to violate that particular injunction of Chazal, but we are here. We are seeking something. We are looking to connect with one another and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I sent out a message last night saying that I intend to attempt to deliver two things this evening, perspective and chizuk. I'm going to try in the next few minutes to share some thoughts of perspective, offer three words of chizuk. I will then lead the tzibur in five prakim of Tehillim. We will then have the opportunity to hear several remarks from Rabbi Feld, who will lead us in five more Prakim of Tehillim. Followed by a Mishaberach for Tzahal, led by our very beloved member Jeff Nugershell, we will sing three songs together in Davin Maariv. Perspective. On the one hand, they say that this past Shabbos was the bloodiest day for the Jewish people since the Holocaust. I am not enough of a historian to fact check that, but I am enough of a historian to know that I've never heard that said before. We've all seen a lot. Looking around the rooms, some are younger than me, some are older than me. It's quite a statistic, and a frightening one. The list of names and the faces, it is mind-boggling. We've had a tradition. It's a sacred tradition in our Beis HaKnesses that whenever a Jew is murdered in Eretz Yisrael, before reciting the Tefillah Shlom HaMedina on Shabbos, we recite the name of the Kadosh and Lo Aleinu at times Kedoshim. In the first few years that I was here at Beth Aaron, in the years 2002 and 3 and 4, there were weeks in which we had to recite dozens of names, and it was painful. And for the better part of the past 15 years, up until a year ago, we went very long periods of time. Several years ago, Israel reported that there was not one victim of terror for the first time since the establishment of the state in an entire year. And then about a year ago, we'd recite a name here and two there. And then a week or two would go by, and there'd be another couple of names. Dr. Alden Leifer has been a very dedicated assistant in this regard. It's not a fun job. I never appointed him for the task, but he has taken it upon himself. Whenever there is a Jew murdered in Israel, to print out the names for me before Shabbos, and to hand them to me. And he sent me a message last night saying I've counted 90 names. You let me know what you want me to do with them, Rabbi. I said to him last night, I say, now I have no idea. I'm not going to read 900 names in Shul HaShabbos. Several weeks ago, we observed Tisha B'Av. We recited kinos. What the Jewish people have experienced over the past couple of days is the stuff of kinos. Alalai li. Eicha. It's not different. It's not relative. It's not yes, but. I hope there's no kina composed. Mashiach should rescue us from having to observe Tisha B'Av next year. But what we have experienced over the past 2 days is the stuff of kinos. It was 2 weeks ago today, on the day of Yom HaKippurim, that I stood before you and we talked about the 50th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War, and I realize now, with a fair measure of shame, how detached I was from what it is that we were speaking about. And thinking back to my marks of that day, I am haunted for other reasons as well, but that will wait for another time. I'm not a prophet. Most of you know me, you've heard me speak before. I cannot tell you what is happening. But I remember on the Shabbos following 9/11, a relatively inexperienced young assistant rabbi. And I said the words, "The world will never be the same again." And again, it wasn't a great prophecy. But in fact, the world has never been the same again. And we say the same this evening. The world, our world, will never be the same again. That's for perspective. On the other hand, I had the zechus earlier today to participate in several special conversations with various leaders around the world. One, I was invited to participate in a very small conversation involving a handful of rabbis. Among them, Rabbi David Miller, who is the Rosh Kollel at the Gruz Kollel in Yerushalayim. And I wish, my friends, that you could have been there with me to see him and to hear him. His face reflected positivity. He said, and I quote, "We've been punched, and we've been punched very hard. But," he said, "I'll tell you what I'm seeing. Hundreds and thousands of people standing online to donate food and resources and blood. Preparing weddings in the street. The Achdus, which is so palpable in all of Israel," he says, "it's extraordinary. The feeling throughout the land of Israel today of Mi Ka'amcha Yisrael." And again, as I quote, "When we realize the difference between savage animals and an angelic army." He reflected and he radiated hope and positivity. And I want so much for each and every one of us to maintain that perspective as well. And on that note, I make this point parenthetically, but it's an important point. We are experiencing something as a global community that I don't believe we have seen before in this scale and this magnitude. And that is that an enemy that is looking to terrorize each and every one of us by recording their savage and brutal acts, Rachmana Litzlan, and sharing it with the world. My friends, I'm not a posek. Take it for what it's worth. It is usur to watch these videos. It is forbidden for us to allow our enemies to terrorize us. It is a disgrace and a bizayon to people who have been tortured and murdered in this way. And it interferes with our ability to maintain a sense of composure and emuna that we need to have. The media is skewed. There's one goal and one goal only: to keep you there. The intention is sinister and it is explicit. I'm not telling you that you should cut yourself off from the world and you shouldn't in any way whatsoever try to learn of updates and events. I will leave it to you to decide where and when and how to retrieve that information. "22 years ago, I watched a video about a month after 9/11, and I would do anything to unwatch what I saw that day. I would do anything to wipe that from my brain, but I can't. And I implore you not to make that mistake. It strengthens our enemies. It is poisonous for us, and it goes without saying. The children that are in our care, directly, indirectly, must be protected and shielded from this as well. And finally, regarding perspective, I say that we need to have perspective this evening because unlike any other people on the earth, we know the end of the story. Every Shabbos we read here from the Bima the following words, Neman atahu Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, you are trusted and believed. V'ne'emanim divarecha. The words that you have delivered through your prophets are ne'emanim. V'davar echad midvarecha achor lo yoshuv reikam. There is not one word that was uttered by your prophets, by Yishayahu HaNavi, by Yechezkel HaNavi, by Zechariah HaNavi, that will not come true. Ki el melech ne'eman v'racham anata. These are not just words that we say. We know the end of the story. It will be good. My friends, let's put things into perspective. I said I would try to deliver chizuk this evening. I have three messages, and I hope, once again, to keep it brief. We're going to daven tonight, as we do every day. We have intensified our tefillos over the past couple of days since we started to learn of events happening in Eretz Yisrael. This is a most opportune time to remind ourselves that which we all know, and that is the incredible power of prayer. It is in this week's parasha that Chazal point out that the world was created in a mature state, but the vegetation had not broken the surface of the earth. Ki Adam ayin la'avod es adama. Because man was not there to pray. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created a universe in which there is a system. We think we know so much. We think we understand how everything works. We think we figured it all out. Prayer is part of that process. God is not playing with us. He's not teasing us. As Chazal tell us in so many different ways over and over again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to turn to Him in prayer because He knows that is the only way that we can truly develop a relationship with Him. At times, it's from a place of joy. Kos, Yeshuos Esa, Uveshem Hashem Ekra, as we have just said again and again throughout the days of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. But David HaMelech also tells us, Tzara, V'yagon Emtza, Uveshem Hashem Ekra. I don't have to tell you what to pray for. We're praying for the safety of our brothers and sisters and our sons and our daughters. We pray that these battles indeed prove to be the Mechamos of Mashiach, Harem Keren Mishichecha. Number two, events like this must strengthen our relationship with Eretz Yisrael and sharpen our view and our perspective. Timing is everything. I probably would have cited this Rashi anyway, but I can't miss the opportunity. Some of us have already begun to be Mavir Sedra. This week is Parshas Bereishis. It is the very beginning. The first pasuk in Chumash, where Rashi tells us that the Torah could have begun in Parshas Bo, with the words Achodesh Ezalachem. The Torah, being a constitution, a book of laws, did not need to begin with the story of creation. And Rashi tells us, citing the view of Rabbi Yitzchak, Shim Yomru Umos Ha'olam LiYisrael, because if the nations of the world should say to you, Listim Atem, thieves, Shikivashtem Artzos Shivas Hagoyim, you stole the land from the Palestinians. Says Rashi in his opening words in this week's parasha. If they say that, Omrim Lohem, say back to them, Kol Haaretz Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hi. The entire world belongs to God.
Hu bara unesana l'asher yasha be'enav.
God created the world. God decides who gets what. Says Rashi, that's why we have a Sefer Bereishis. Now let me ask you, my friends. Have you ever attempted to convince an anti-Semite of your position by citing that Rashi? Could you imagine ever standing in a university campus or being interviewed on CNN or, for that matter, Fox News? It doesn't make a difference. And speak intelligently to people, sophisticated individuals who have a grasp of geopolitical realities, and tell them, no, it's a Rashi. It's a Rashi. Rashi says it's ours. The answer, my friends, is that Rashi knows that we are not going to convince the Umos Ha'ola. But we read this each and every year. We read the story of creation in Sefer Bereishis, so we should never have any doubts in our own minds. It's not for them. It's for us. And you know who knows this? Our sons and our daughters, who bravely are boarding planes, including the ones who don't have to. My son just told me a half hour ago, he has a friend who's engaged to a young woman who was in Sahal. She's an American. She's back here. She's supposed to be married in a few months. She wants to be called. She's waiting to be called. There are plenty of Jews who know this Rashi and know this Rashi well. We have to take these words and sear them into our minds. The land of Israel is our past. The land of Israel is our present. And the land of Israel is our future. And finally, the question that so many of us are thinking about obsessively over the past almost 72 hours, what do we do now? What am I to do? There's a Mishnah in Masechet Sota which tells us what we could expect to see Be'ikvas of the Mashiach. For the purpose of time, I won't take the Mishnah out right now. I have reviewed this list with you in the past. I encourage you to take a look. The Mishnah describes in perfect detail every aspect of the world in which we live today. From politics, to the economy, to social issues, to the breakdown of civil discourse, for the lack of truth in the world, for the rejection of traditional and societal norms, of scientific data. It is all forecast in this Mishnah. And then at the end, the Mishnah says, and then we come to this place where we realize, Ein lanu al mi lehisha'ein ela al avinu shebashamayim. We come to this place where we realize there is no one in this world that we can rely on other than our Father in heaven. You could read the Mishnah 100 times, 200 times, 300 times, and you'll come to the same conclusion. The Mishnah ends on a positive note. There's a positive ending, because it's true. It's depressing what has happened in our world, but you know what? At least we come to the point where we realize, Ein lanu al mi lehisha'ein ela al avinu shebashamayim. This past summer, I heard my Rebbe, Rabbi Willig, quote from Rabbi Chaim Ivlazhin, who said that statement in the Mishnah is not a positive end to the Mishnah. It is part of the very dismal and depressing and tragic circumstances where be'ikvas of the Mashiach, people will say, "Ein lanu amilahi she'ein ela alavinu shebashamayim." There is nothing that we can do. All we can do is daven. Of course, ein od milvado. Of course, at the end of the day, we can only rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that is not a simen tov. That is not a positive description. It is part of the problem. A Jew should never say, "Ein lanu al mi lehisha ein ella al avinu shebashemayim." Says Reb Chaim Vlozhin, there's someone else you can rely on, yourself. There are things that we can do. When Klal Yisrael stood at the Yam Suf, and Moshe turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pleading for some teretz, some solution, "Matitzaka ilai, why are you crying? What are you screaming about? Why are you davening? Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisol. Go!" I don't think that there's anybody in this room tonight, if you're here especially, who needs to be motivated to think in terms of what we would call kabbalos. What am I going to do? And you know me by now, and I mean this in any, no way whatsoever with any disrespect to the political activists and the letter writers. I mean this sincerely. I don't know how to direct you in that regard. I cannot tell you. I'll try my best to find Mar Makomos and pass them along. That's not what I'm here to tell you. Of course, we should be engaged in all ways that we can. Call your congressman, by all means. But the kabbalos that I am talking about are the ones that we have basically been talking about for the past 52 days. Tshuva tefillah tzedakah. That's just chazer. It's so ironic. Again, the Rishayim Gemurim, who first planned an attack on Yom Kippur, and then 7-8 years ago, planned a massive pogrom which would never come to be because of some miraculous turn of events on the day of Rosh Hashanah, as I hope all of you remember, 7 years ago. It was in a Shemitah year. And they have succeeded in once again invading us on our holy days. But just think about the irony from another perspective. It was mamish the last day of the tshuva season. It's mamish the last day. I said to Chaviva on Erev Shmini Atzeres what I say to her every year on Erev Shmini Atzeres. I whisper it. I said, "Am I allowed to say this? I've had it." Apparently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not satisfied with the tshuva tefillah tzedakah of Klal Yisrael. So, we're on an extension, very clearly. It's true. We swapped the parochas last night. It's blue again. And we're no longer saying L'David Hashem Ori. But my friends, it is Tishrei. And it's going to be Tishrei. Even after we bench Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. It's going to be Tishrei for weeks. And it's going to be Tishrei for months. Tshuva, as we've said many times in the past, is tshuva to Torah. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha. I'm not going to give examples now. I'm not going to tell you which shir to attend, or what to listen to, or how many chavrusas to have. Just up your game. Whatever you're doing, do more. Chaviva told me a couple weeks ago, somebody in the community reached out to her, and she said, I'm looking for an etzah, how to be more connected. I'm not feeling so spiritual. What do you suggest?" So Chaviva asked me. I said, "Just tell her to learn anything. That's what Torah does. It's automatic. It's a guarantee. It's a given. Find me a person who spends 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes learning and then says, 'I regret it.' That didn't lift me, that didn't raise me, that didn't make me feel closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam." Tefillah. Again, I now's not the time. What am I going to say? Daven more, daven better, daven louder, daven slower. My friends, talk to him. Let's not play games. We know what it means to daven. Talk to him. Talk to him, not to the person next to you. I'm so proud. This is one of the quietest shuls, they say. It's not quiet enough. You can't have it both ways. I know this is going to sound harsh, and I promise you I'm not thinking about anyone right now. If you plan on talking in shul this Shabbos, you don't have to be here right now. It's a stira mine ube. You can't have it both ways. You can't talk to God on your terms. If you're not ready to stop talking in shul, then stop coming to shul. My friends, do not tolerate it from yourselves, and do not tolerate it from the person who is talking to you. I am not going as far as to say to not tolerate from the person who's talking to somebody else. Do what I do, for the most part. Mind your own business. But don't talk in shul. And when someone comes over to you, do what I do. Can this wait? And if the answer is no, do what I do. Go outside. Ask the gabbai, any of my gabbaim. If you could say it in a sentence, great. If not, we're going outside. We don't talk in shul. I know what some of you are thinking right now. This is total exploitation. The rabbi, he ambushed us. He told us to come to shul tonight so we could say Tehillim. And it's a chutzpah. We're going to say Tehillim. But it's not a game. It's not a gumball machine. We don't just put the coins in and just say, we're going to say this one, this one, this one, and this one. Magic! That's not the way it works. If we're here to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, welcome. Otherwise, you're just not ready to daven in shul. And finally, tzedakah. There are many, as is always the case, and I mean this with pride, not with any cynicism, there are many who are collecting money already, and there are many good causes. I am trying my best to figure it all out. There was an email that went out today in my name. I didn't send it, but I take responsibility for it, about a wonderful event that's taking place tomorrow night, encouraging all members of the Bergen County community to join in the JCC. I hope to be there, Blina, there. There was a message. If you'd like to give money, donate here. By all means, donate there. But I'm not saying that that is the place. That is the only place. That is the best place. I hope, Blinether, over the next day or two. Here's what I can tell you. They need money. They really need money. There are beautiful, beautiful pictures I've seen today of packages and suitcases, hundreds and hundreds of packages and supplies being sent, and wonderful. And the people who do that continue doing it. But it's just to be honest, it is not the most efficient, nor is it necessarily the most effective way. So, yeah. If you have the ability and the means to donate to the cause to make sure that our chayalim and chayalos have what they need, donate. And tzedakah doesn't only mean give money. It means to look at the person next to you and just try to be a better friend. Try to be a better person. Repair relationships. Ask yourself before you leave tonight, who am I not talking to? I am personally aware of two people in our shul who have not exchanged words in 2 years, who came together 3 hours ago in this building and hugged. And they're moving forward. They're moving on. It's just not worth it. I'm not lying to you. I saw it with my own eyes. 2 years. Sadly, it took a kick like the one we've all been feeling. But it was that easy. You don't like my ideas, or you have better ones, and I mean this seriously, please share them with me. I am giving you 48 hours. That didn't mean, I hope that didn't come across like an ultimatum, but I'm giving you 48 hours. And 48 hours from now, B'linedra, I will be sending an email to the entire community with a list of suggestions, which will include mine and yours. If there are things that you see, if there are links that you have, if there are websites that you have, please. And I will even say, if you would like to help me sort through it, please speak to me as well. I'd be happy to take you up on that offer. I am committed to not sending out message after message after message after message, but I do not assume that just because I'm the one standing here right now, I have all the answers. So send me your ideas. I apologize if I've taken more time than you thought you were going to give me. Somebody asked me earlier today, how long is tonight's program going to be? And I answered honestly, I said, I have no idea, and I don't care. And I really can't imagine that anybody else who's coming tonight does either. But if you do, I sincerely apologize. We're going to recite, as I mentioned, 10 Prakim of Tehillim. I'm going to lead the Tzibur in 5, and I'll tell you what they are in a moment. I don't expect that anybody here is going to be able to memorize the following list of names, but I would like to read to you a list of 8 names of young men whose parents are in this room right now. Who need our tefillos. I apologize if your child or your grandchild, or for that matter, your niece or your nephew is not on this list. I invite you to just share the name with me, and we will continue as a tzibur to daven for your family members, together with the rest of Klal Yisrael until they return to safety. Again, just keep the names in mind. Al-Chazan de Gedalia, Ben Yitzchak v'chaya Batya, Ezi Yisrael, Ben Yitzchak v'chaya Batya, Gabriel Simcha, I remember his bris, Gabriel Simcha, Ben Chamaleya, Akiva Mordechai ben Chamaleya, I remember Ezra Yisrael's bris also, by the way. Avra Mordechai ben Shulamis Rivka, Daniel Moshe ben Devora, Kfir ben Yehudis, Natan Leib Daniel ben Sarah.
I've been tasked with trying to offer some divrei chizuk, some inspiration. If you look around the room, you don't have to be a mind reader to sense that there's an intense sadness. The tension is palpable, and there's a fair amount of heartbreak in this room. And I was thinking, what could I possibly say? What can inspire such a moment? But I think if we look a little bit deeper at what's happening in this room right now, we'll find that in this very room, and in rooms alike it around this town and around the world, is actually the secret of Jewish eternity and the secret of Jewish inspiration. And that is just how full this room is right now. Unbelievable. It's truly amazing that so many of us here and in shuls all across the world have come out not sad, not upset, not distressed, but grieving, truly grieving for brothers and sisters who we never met, with rare exceptions, we probably never would have ever encountered. Ashreinu. Ashreinu. My father-in-law forwarded me a text today that he got from his gardener, a non-Jewish fellow, obviously. And he said, I want to express my condolences to you for your loss. That was the whole text. And he posted that on the family chat. Asherenu. The whole world knows that we're different. The whole world knows that when a Jew is murdered in southern Israel, or in this case, I can't even say how many, that each and every one of us lost a sibling. The inspiration is not from anything I'm going to say. I'm not even sure it's from any of the Tehillim that we're going to recite. The inspiration is look to the right of you and look to the left of you and realize how many brothers and sisters we have in this room alone who would feel this sense of mourning as if it was their own father, brother, sister, child. For me, I'm just speaking really honestly with you right now. For me, the feeling of knowing, I hope that you can appreciate what I'm saying here, the feeling of knowing that I'm not meant to bear this burden on my own, but that I can share it with the people around me, that I have people here who feel the same way that I do. I don't have to try to describe what I'm feeling. You know what I'm feeling. You can see it in my eyes. I can see it in yours. That sense of brotherhood is all the inspiration that one could ever hope for. I was listening to Divrei Chizuk last night from Rav Asher Weishlita, and he cited a very powerful medrash that I want to share with you. The medrash in Bat Midbar Rabbah highlights the difference between two generations. The generation that the medrash calls Doro Shel David HaMelech and Doro Shel Achav HaRasha. When it comes to Doro Shel David HaMelech, of course we know that they were led by none other than the greatest, perhaps arguably the greatest leader of the Jewish people. It was a generation of incredible Torah scholarship. I'm not going to read it inside, but I have the medrash right here. Anyone wants to see it afterwards? The medrash says that you could go over to a tinok, a young child, and ask him a question in Tumah v'Tahara, and he would give you 49 reasons l'taher and 49 reasons l'tameh. They had tremendous, tremendous erudition in learning. And on the other hand, the Doro Shel Achav HaRasha, Achav, the wicked king of Israel, the medrash sums up the entire generation in four words. Kulo Ovdei Avodas Kochavim. The entire generation from start to finish were idolaters. And this is where the interesting part starts. Says the Medrash, when the generation of David HaMelech would go out to war, David would daven for them. He would daven Meshvi Matzliach in Melchama, and sometimes they were, and sometimes they weren't. But in the generation of Achav HaRasha, the generation of Kulam Hayu Ovdei Avodas Kochavim, they would go out to war, and they were always matzliach. Ask the Medrash why, in what schus, something absolutely startling. Says the Medrash, the reason why the Doro Shel David were nofel b'melchama, shehayu bahen dilterin. They had amongst them, we'll call it tattletales. People who were looking to rat out their fellow Jews, people who didn't have their fellow Jews back. But in the door of Achav, lo hayu behen dilterin. No Jew would ever do anything to harm another. There was a tremendous sense of brotherhood, a tremendous love. No frumkeit, no Torah, but love for one another. And I was reflecting on this medrash, a powerful sentence, not something we're used to hearing. What is it specifically about an Eis Milchama that Achdus becomes front and center? Love for a fellow Jew seems to even take precedence over Torah and Tefillah. And I don't know the answer, but I'll tell you my own reflections. When Eberhofix was reading those eight names, and there's so many more. I got a list of names of people from my year in Karen Biavne, and people in my year in MTA, and of course, I'm sure everybody has people who they know, Baruch Hashem, who are going to defend Am Yisrael. And I was thinking, what possesses someone to do something so crazy? Here you are. You could have gone to YU. You could be sitting in Tina. You could be sitting in Chicago. You could be sitting in LA. You could be sitting in Miami. No one would have said anything. That's what you're expected to do. What possesses someone to say, I want to stay in Eretz Yisrael. I want to go back to Eretz Yisrael to fight. And the answer is obvious. It's obvious. These are people who have values that run far beyond themselves. These are brave young men and women who have truly internalized that they live for Am Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael, defending the people who serve Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And that's worth more than their own convenience. That's worth more than what makes sense for their own schedule. A tremendous act of selflessness, a tremendous emphatic scream of I am part of the most special people on earth, and that's worth everything to me. And I was thinking, how could we hear that call? That call of all of the Chayalim. I'm not excluding the Israelis in this one. Them too. The call of all of the Chayalim to feel proud, to feel energized, and to feel a sense of Mesiras Nefesh on behalf of Am Yisrael. And of course, the answer is Achdus. When I can put the needs of the nation in front of my own, when I can feel that being a part of this special people is worth more than maybe a little fight that I might have with my neighbor, we too can show a sense of Mesiras Nefesh. Now, that means a lot of things. I'll give just two or three examples. Of course, it means what I'll call the easy things. Checking in on people who you know have children who live in the South, or children fighting in the war, or friends who you know live in the South or live in Eretz Yisrael. Of course. But it means, I think, something a little bit deeper. Something that I want to lay out as a true Mesiras Nefesh. A real way, if we want to answer the call of being called up to the army right now, every single Jew is just called up to the army. Just in case that wasn't clear. I see everyone in this room obviously understands that. There is not one Jew who's currently an off-duty soldier. Every single Jew is needed. It might take a few minutes for us to figure out exactly which unit we are fighting in. But every single Jew in this world, I was speaking today to a Jew who does not believe in God. Period. End of story. Does not believe in Hashem. Happens to be a friend of mine. A proud Jew. And he was telling me he just donated money to Hatzalah. And it gave me such chizuk. Doro shel achav. Doro shel achav. We need everybody. There is not a single Jew who's currently off duty. But I want to give one etza that I think if we all really put our mind to it, we can echo those sentiments of all of those chayalim, especially the chayalim from Chutz La'aretz, who are really showing us what it means to be selfless for Am Yisrael. And that is, if you have someone, Rolf Ex mentioned this, you have someone who you're in a fight with. This is hard. I'm not pretending like this is easy. It's not. Maybe somebody from shul, maybe somebody in your family, maybe somebody from work, maybe the rabbi, maybe somebody from your community. To realize that Am Yisrael needs to be strong. We're one body. We're one body. Any little fracture is going to hurt the entire body. You ever break your pinky? You ever stub your toe? It's not the shot, oh, I broke my pinky, but the rest of my body was great that day. You hurt. Everything hurts. Any fracture in Klal Yisrael between any two Jews hurts Klal Yisrael. If we can find it within us, to whatever madrega, whether it means to be mochel in your own heart, or if you have the fortitude to actually approach the other person, harez and meshubach, but everybody in their own way, to try as best as we can to be marba ava v'achva v'shalom. No lashon hara about another Jew, chas v'shalom. No machlokas, and whatever we can to mend any fractures in our guf of Klal Yisrael, the zchuyos could be tremendous. So our goal, we have a three-pronged goal. Everybody was just called up. We got to figure out exactly which division we're in. But the number one thing is Avas Yisrael. Avas Yisrael, to be Mar Beshalom. And of course, we need to also use the tools of Dorosh Al David, of Torah and of Tefillah. Of course, the famous Rashi, Akol Kol Yaakov, Vayadayim Yidei Esav, that Klal Yisrael, we have our army base, you'll excuse the pun, we have our army base, the base HaKnesses and the base HaMedrash. We have to come in uniform. My brother, who's a very special Jew, started a very, very special campaign this week for high school kids. High school kids to take selfies of themselves every day this week, just this week, wearing tzitzis. With the caption, "They're in their uniform, we must be in ours." That mentality is exactly what we need. We are soldiers. We are soldiers. We are fighting. We have a role to play. Someone sent me a message. I got two or three of these messages today. Of, sorry to bother you with something so minuscule, but is there going to be a night seder tonight? And I responded to all three of them, that's not minuscule. Night seder is like, it's not the pshat that, oh, there's something so big happening, so now night seder is minuscule. Adarabba. We have to mechazik ourselves. We're soldiers too. Night seder is how we're fighting. Don't think for one moment that's not real. That is real. It's very real. What they're doing on the front lines is very real. What we're doing here is very real. And don't chas v'shalom think anything to the contrary. So in terms of Torah and Tefillah, come in uniform. If that means that we're not so nizar mitzvah tzitzis, so this week to be nizar mitzvah tzitzis. If it means to dress a little bit more mechubed for davening, so dress a little more mechubed for davening. If it means to stay in our uniform of talis and tefillin until davening ends, so stay in our uniform until davening ends. We're all in uniform this week. And the Beis HaMedrash too. For those who have the time to spare, 5 minutes, 10 minutes after Maariv, to come learn. Report to the base. Report for training. Be'ezras Hashem will take all this brotherhood, chizuk, the grief, take all of it, a nice big challenge of what it means to be a Jew. And we'll put it together and we'll hear Besoros Tovos, Yeshuos, V'Nechamos.
Acheinu Kodesh Yisrael. Thank you.